الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم My respected elders, if one looks at the condition of this ummah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the amount of atrocities, the amount of genocide, the amount of zulm and oppression that is being committed against the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in these last few months, then one begins to wonder and one begins to ask various questions. And amongst these questions, most of us search and we look for is the solution to the problems of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many who will ask, can it get any worse? There are many that will go on and ask, is these atrocities or are these atrocities going to polarize and gain any momentum? And how many more lives are going to be lost? My beloved friends, if you look into the Quran Kareem, we will find that from time to time, there were various crises that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam had gone through. And these crises were at such levels that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about it in the Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبُتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله. That from time to time, Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam had gone through these crisis situations. And Allah asked us a question, that do you perceive that you are going to get Jannah when those conditions have never come to you? What were those conditions? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ Afflictions, difficulties had come upon Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, and those who feared Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, those who followed them. And we know that Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam were pillars of steadfastness. We know that Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam were such examples that the iman and yaqeen will be examples for mankind till the day of Qiyamah. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَزُلْزِلُوا that when these crises had reached those situations, when they began to shake, يَقُولُونَ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, they began to ask, when is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to come down? And on those conditions, in those situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would respond, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. He listened, my banda, the nusrat and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close. If you go into the life of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is because of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerah tayyibah, that park and beautiful life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have come here and honored this day, my respected and dear friends. For Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa zulzilu. But when the matters of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala goes a step further. Is ja'ukum min fawqikum, wa min asfala minkum, wa idh zaghatil abasar, wa balagatil qulubul hanajir, wa tadhunnuna billahi dhununa. هنالك ابتلي المؤمنون وزلزلوا زلزالا شديدا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts the picture at the time of the Battle of Trench, when Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a handful of 3,000 ashab, against them a kuffar coalition army of 12,000 to 15,000. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is ja'ukum min fawqikum, when they had come from above you, wa min asfala minkum, and when they had come from beneath you, wa idh zaghatil abasar, at that time Allah depicts the condition of sahaba, Allah shows us that crisis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa idh zaghatil abasar, when the eyes of sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, the word zagha in Arabic means to become crooked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implies that the eyes were so huge with shock, like how we often see a person in the state of shock, how huge one's eyes will become. And we understand from sahaba ikiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in that this condition was not because they had feared any form of the loss of life. They had not feared the loss of their women and their children or their homes. But sahaba's concern at that time was if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed and these sahaba were destroyed, then who will worship Allah Rabbul Izzat till the day of Qiyamah? وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains further that their hearts had reached their throats. Like how we usually say in English, his heart is in his mouth. That was the condition of sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala an. These pillars of iman, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, wa minan nas, from mankind, man yaqulu amanna, from mankind were those who had said they had brought iman, referring to the munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they should have brought iman, kama amana an-nas, they should have brought iman like how sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum had brought iman. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa tadhunnuna billahi dhununa, that sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, various thoughts went through the hearts of sahaba in those conditions. There were those sahaba, the thought had come that now it is the end of our lives. Some sahaba, their thoughts were that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with us, and it is for this reason that Allah has brought this affliction upon us. But Allah ta'ala says, هُنَالِكَ بَتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Allah brought them to that point. Allah brought them to that stage of test and tribulation, that Allah says, وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا, that they had shaked. Zilzal in Arabic means an earthquake. They had shook, like how this earth would shake, and a very severe shake. My respected and dear friends, if we acknowledge that these crises had existed in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we also believe very firmly that the Quran Kareem will never ever bring us these incidences without giving us the solution to the problems. There is no doubt in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enumerated many a solution in the Quran Kareem to the problems that lied in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And of course, there is no doubt in the fact that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has these very same solutions, because the problem is not a new one. But before we go to the problems and to the solutions in these particular crises, we need to understand a very important aspect of our own lives, my own life and many of us. We have one, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lifestyle of sahaba ikiram ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And we find for a period of about 5 centuries, 500 years, a concept had been introduced into this world, the concept of circularism, which in political terms may be termed as circular democracy. If we go into in the encyclopedia and if we look up this word circularism, we will find it means to sectionalize, it means to break up and to separate, and in our common terms, to disintegrate. If you look at this concept of circularism, the whole concept directs towards a way of life which conflicts with the way of life that the Quran has commanded us towards. And of course, the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will find and we witness today that the way of life of man has been disintegrated, has been sectionalized, and the buzzword departmentalized. Politics has become a separate entity and a separate issue. It has been separated from religion. Politicians will run a country. Religion has very little to do with it. The educational system has been separated from religion, and the result is that the educational system will run independently from that of religion. That as Christian as a Christian may be, he will have no hesitation in going into the theory of Darwin, that man was an ape, and he will regard it to be an honor for him to study such theses and theories which contradicts their own kitab. My respected and dear friends, if we go further, and if we look into the lives of the followers of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, just for us to understand what is becoming of the ummah, and if we do not take heed, what will become of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, when he was still in the arms of his mother, Hazrat Maryam, when the Yahud had accused her of having committed zina, and she points towards Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, and he begins to speak, and he says, Inni abdullah atani al-kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتْ فَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. And prior to that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Hazrat Maryam the glad tidings of a son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to her, and this revelation was by way of inspiration, يَا مَرْيَمُ قُنُتِي لِرَبِّكِ وَسْجُدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Isa alayhi salatu wassalam explains to his people, after telling them that Allah will give me a kitab, Allah's command upon me will be to give out the compulsory zakat and to perform salat. What was that salat? What was that namaz that Allah had commanded Isa alayhi salam? Allah explains to Hazrat Maryam, Wasjudi warka'i, O Maryam, make sajda and ruku. Do the followers of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam carry out a deen? Do they perform a salah like how Allah has described that salah? Yes, secularism would allow us to attain spiritual upliftment in inverted commas. That so long as a person is in peace with himself, he has attained a spiritual level. How he has attained it is his own free will. He is at will to decide. And the result is, we no more find a musalla for them to make sajda in their churches. We will find chairs. We no more find the daily salah that they were supposed to have been performing. We will find it once a week. My respected and dear friends, this is that ill effect of secularism that has crept into mankind. And if we take it a step further, perhaps it may hurt. But if you look at it on an economical level, then we will find that we also have sectionalized and departmentalized. We have removed our economic system from the greater aspect of our deen and our religion. Whether it is the institute of riba that we have adopted, or whatever other aspect of the economical system that we have imported into Islam, the fact is we have deviated from the tariqah of Islam. If we have understood this in a nutshell, if we have understood the crux of the problem and the dilemma that the ummah faces today, that we have been drawn into this. Many an English author has acknowledged the accomplishment in countries like India and Africa and other places in the world by implementing an educational system whereby they have demoralized this deen of Islam. That we are made to think. We are made to think, and sometimes we voluntarily think that the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something else, and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something else. We have created some form of discrimination between the two. And the result today is, we have deviated and turned away from the Quran-e-Kareem. One sahabi of Nabi-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala an, he was a rabbi, a Jewish scholar. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam enters Medina, he brings iman. Being of a Jewish background and having knowledge of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sifat and qualities, he became a very sincere sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was not a blemish in his heart regarding his iman. But once the thought had entered his heart that if I wish and if I will and if I want to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner in which I do not contradict the deen and the shariat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at the same time fulfill a prohibition of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, it is quite possible that in their shariat the eating of camel's meat was not permissible. So Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu had decided that if I keep away from the camel meat, I will be observing a tenet of the deen of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and at the same time I have not broken any command in the shariat of Islam. Like many of us have not eaten camel's meat, and it doesn't affect our iman in the slightest bit. No sooner does this thought come into the heart of the sahabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals an ayah of the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dukhulu fis silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter Islam in totality. Bring the whole of Islam into your life, and you also enter wholly and fully into Islam. that Islam has no room for this. That i'tiqadan, that by your belief that you want to follow even the deen of Musa alayhi salam, even if he was a Nabi of Allah, even if it was a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Torah. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. My respected and dear friends, it is this background that we have hailed from that gives us this impression or perception that we can discriminate between the Quran, the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes this attitude gives us that audacity that we will begin to interpret the Quran Kareem also against the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look for the solutions, we look again into the Quran, we will find at the time of Badr there was a crisis. Sahaba-i-Kiram were 313. The Kuffar were 1,000. Sahaba-i-Kiram were ill-equipped. The Kuffar were equipped tooth and nail. The battlefield of Badr, Sahaba-i-Kiram were at a disadvantage. They were at the lower end of Badr. The enemy were at a higher point. In that condition, the thought comes to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that how are we going to gain any form of victory? And the concern again, if we were destroyed, what will become of Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals various ayat regarding the directives to Sahaba ikiram. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. In another ayah, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا. At the time of Uhud, when Sahaba radiallahu anhum went in disarray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. At the time of the Battle of Trench, when those difficult conditions had come upon Sahaba, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this incident in the Quran, Allah ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. A battle against the Yahud, the Bani Nadir. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Sahaba ikiram, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Respected and dear friends, in all these crisis situations, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was one single message in different ways. Ita'at of Allah, obey Allah and obey the Rasul of Allah. Obey Allah and obey the Rasul of Allah. When Allah speaks about the conflict with the munafiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يُتِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. He who obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of Trench, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. In Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most beautiful example. At the time of the battle with Banu Nazir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. That whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given you, take, and whatever he has prohibited you from, restrain and keep away from it. My respected and dear friends, if we understand this message of the Quran Kareem is a very simple message, then let us bring the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us inculcate the life, the habits, the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then how Allah had changed conditions in Badr, how Allah had changed conditions in Uhud, how Allah had changed conditions in the Battle of Trench, Allah will change the conditions even today. There is no doubt that the ayah of the Quran, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, that you are the best of nations, will be till the day of Qiyamah. If you look into the lives of Sahaba ikiram ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in, we will find many such examples where Sahaba radiallahu anhum, We are not talking about the Sahaba's life in Medina Munawwara. We are not speaking about the life of Sahaba Ikiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, in a situation in which they were in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will move a little away from that, and we will go on to the lives of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, when they were not with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they were not in that pure mahal and environment of Medina Munawwara. We find one such example of Hazrat Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala an, who was famously known as the secret keeper of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was sent as part, as a delegation, an envoy to the emperor of Persia, after they had invited him, they laid down the dastarkhan, and Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu sits down to partake of the meals. A morsel of food falls out of the plate of Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu onto the dastarkhan, and Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu picks up that morsel. A person brings to his attention, "Oh Huzaifa, this is an act of disgrace. This is an act whereby you will be ridiculed by these people, the Persians." Sayyidina Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu very famously says, "أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِهَٰؤُلَاءِ الْحُمَقَاءِ." Should I leave the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for these fools? Perhaps an analogy has been most accurately brought by Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatuhum, and he explains, if you look at the sentence of Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala an, and if we see it in terms of time, a very short while thereafter, the entire Iranian Persian Empire crumbled. He explains that Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala an, when he humbled himself to fulfill one sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ventured disgrace at that particular time, but it did not concern him. He humbled himself. He was prepared to disgrace himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the entire Persian Empire to disgrace. Asad Multani rahmatullah alayhi, a very authoritative personality on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has depicted this entire scenario in a very beautiful poetic form. The driver of ND227221, it is a white bucky, would you please remove your vehicle? Kisi ka astana uncha hai itna, kisi ka astana uncha hai itna, ke sar jhukne se uncha hi rahega. Hase jane se tum darte raho, zamana tum se haste rahega. There are some people who have understood every aspect of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have not discriminated any sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have not regarded any sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as minute or insignificant or small. Such people, when they reach such levels, then even if they lower their heads will be high. They will never hang their heads in shame. And this is what we see of Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala an. Our condition, hase jane se jab tak tum daroge, that so long as we are afraid, so long as we are afraid of being mocked and ridiculed, zamana tum se hasta hi rahega, time will begin to make a mockery of us. My respected and dear friends, we witness the second part of the couplet today, that we have become afraid. We have become afraid to fulfill the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have reached that point where we will justify our doings and actions. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, respected and dear friends, had equated the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to every other aspect of their deen. We find Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, he was an ashiqi rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the 6th year of the hijrah, we know Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sets out for the treaty of Hudaybiyah, sets out for Umrah. The kuffar stopped Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam in that they do not allow him to enter Makkah Muazzama. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time sends Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu to negotiate on behalf of the Muslims. Although he had accepted Iman, he was still regarded as one who had respect in the eyes of the kuffar. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to Makkah, and a person by the name of Aban ibn Sa'id gives him full protection and informs him, "O Uthman, wherever you go, you are free to go. Whatever you do, you are free to do." Hence Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu in this way enjoys freedom in Makkah Mukarramah. When Aban takes him to meet the leaders of the Quraysh, he looks down at the izar, at the pants or the trousers of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he finds it is high above his ankles. He says to him, "O Uthman, it is better you lower your izar. It is better you lower that izar of yours. For this, you know, is the way we in Makkah do it. I fear that if you go with your pants like that, then this kuffar will ridicule you." It comes in the riwayat, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not bother to even look at his pants. He said, "Hakada izaru Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This is how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore his ijar. Respected and dear friends, there was no Nabi at that time in Makkah. He was in Hudaybiyah. It was perhaps you and I, we would have justified it. We are going for a noble cause of deen, and in the name of deen, maybe deen will benefit. So let us put and lower our pants. My respected and dear friends, Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not in the single bit move away from the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in Makkah Mukarramah. Sahaba-i-Kiram in Halat-i-Ihram in Hudaybiyah, some Sahaba come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they say, "Ya Rasulallah, perhaps Uthman will make tawaf of Kaaba and we may be deprived of it." Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's yaqeen in Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He was convinced that they were real ashiqi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells them, "Oh my brothers, so long as I am without Uthman, so long as I am not with Uthman, he will never venture to make tawaf of the Kaaba." On the other hand, the kuffar of Makkah, when they refused to negotiate, they told Uthman that now you may return, and if you so wish and you so desire, we will allow you to make tawaf of the Kaaba. 6th year of the hijrah. 6 years since Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu last made tawaf of the Kaaba. He says, "How can I make tawaf of the Kaaba in the absence of my Nabi? When my Nabi cannot make the tawaf, I will also not make the tawaf." One poet puts it in very beautiful poetic terms. He says, at that time Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had made his Nabi his Kaaba. In other words, his heart was directed towards his Nabi. He will not make the Kaaba, tawaf of the Kaaba of Allah if the Kaaba of his heart was not there. My respected and dear friends, now we will understand somewhat that in these troubled times, in these difficult times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has without doubt shown us the very simple solution to the problems of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no doubt in the fact that these atrocities and these genocides against the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finds a place in the heart of every mu'min. No matter how low or no matter what the condition of our iman be, that sometimes the thought comes to my mind that whilst we sit here in the comfort of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the condition of our brothers in Chechnya that make that sajda knowing the apprehension of a bomb coming on their heads? What is that condition of our mothers, our sisters and our children in Palestine that are in those camps, and on the other side of them, in the words of Professor Farooq Mizbahi, some 30 years ago he called them kebels. Kebel means half human, half animals. Today perhaps they have transcended, they have gone beyond animalism. What is the condition of those people and what comfort do they have? What is the condition of that mother that sees her child being shot at? What is the condition of that mother in Gujarat that experiences those enemies of Allah opening her womb, removing her fetus, trampling it on the ground, and thereafter mutilating that body of that woman, and these senseless creatures will laugh at it mockingly? My respected and dear friends, we need to go back to the Quran Kareem. We need to look deeply into the Sunnah, into the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look for the solutions. And there is no doubt that these solutions exist in the Quran. In many of these ayat we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached another command. Like twice on the occasion of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ فِي اللَّهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى وَأَصْلِحُوا, and make islah, reform yourselves. In other words, وَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَكُمْ, reconcile between yourselves. And also in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا, and do not become argumentative. Do not argue amongst yourselves. Your argument at every level. Today if we look at the pathetic state of the ummah, we will find one common denominator in every society, in perhaps every home. We will find arguments at every level. A man, a husband arguing with his wife, a woman arguing with the husband, parents arguing with their children, children arguing with parents. In our communities, our leaders are arguing, and in every aspect of our lives, till politicians, there are arguments. There is that dissension, there is that hatred and that animosity, and there is no doubt in the fact that the Quran has acknowledged, وَاتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most authoritative commentator of the Quran, and there is no greater authority, no greater commentator than Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has explained حَبْلُ اللَّهِ هُوَ الْقُرْآنِ. Hold on to the Quran Kareem. وَاتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold on to the Quran, all of you. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not disunite. There are two aspects that we need to understand very quickly. Is one is the aspect of ikhtilaf, the aspect of differences of opinion. And the other, the aspect of iftiraq. Iftiraq means disunity. We may have our differences of opinion. And so long as it is based on Quran and Sunnah, then that does not mean that we should disunite amongst ourselves. But we should keep that unity. Like one wise person had offered a very valuable piece of advice, that he who argues knows nothing better. We will go on arguing, and we engage our hearts and our minds in the proofs that we wish to put forward in our arguments, whilst the blood of our Muslim children will flow, whilst the fetus of would-be Muslims are being trampled, whilst Muslim men and children have been burnt. Respected and dear friends, there may be that ikhtilaf. We find at the time after the Battle of Trench, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes towards the Banu Nadir. They had broken the treaty with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba-i-kiram radiyallahu anhum have just come back from one battle, and the command is that move on in the path of Allah. Some sahaba needed some preparation, some were wounded. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes ahead to the place where the Banu Qurayza was, leaving an explicit instruction to sahaba radiyallahu anhum, la yusallina ahadukum al-asra illa fi Bani Qurayza, that none of you will read your asr namaz except in the ilaqa, in the area and the district of the Banu Qurayza. While sahaba radiyallahu anhum prepare, and in their preparations, we are preparing for a war, it may take a little while. Sahaba radiyallahu anhum got delayed. They leave towards the Banu Qurayza. It is the time of Asr. The time of Asr had come in, and they were still moving towards the Banu Qurayza. Some sahaba had this fear that now if we are going to delay the Asr Salat, then perhaps that Asr Salat will be performed in the makruh time. Sahaba radiyallahu anhum began to discuss this issue. Some sahaba radiyallahu anhum said, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explicit that we will read our Asr Salat only in the area and the district of Banu Qurayza, then there is no other way, we will have to perform it there. Another group of sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they used the analogy on the general principle of deen, that at that time Asr is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they had decreed that it is better that we perform our Asr on the road. Those sahaba that decided that they will perform the Asr on the road, on the roadside, they performed the Asr en route. The other group of sahaba hastened to the Banu Nadir, and they performed the Salah over there. Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, being sahaba, immediately go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the situation that we were confronted with. What is the command of Allah in His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He replies, both the groups were on haqq. Those who performed the asr on the road also fulfilled the command of Allah, and those who came to Banu Qurayza to perform the asr also fulfilled the command of Allah. My beloved friends, in matters of deen we will have this ikhtilaf. There may be these differences of opinion. It existed in the time of sahaba radiyallahu anhum. But at the same time, those petty differences that we have amongst ourselves, let us try and mend it. And let us become one united ummah. And of course, that prescription also Allah has given in the Quran. Inna alladhina amanu وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا, that certainly those who have brought iman in Allah and they have practiced righteously, that no sooner do we correct our iman and our practice, our deen is according to the commandments of Allah, then Allah will cement that bond of love between us. Further in the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Allah speaks of two detrimental effects of arguments. One is Allah Ta'ala says, فَتَفْشَلُوا, you will become cowards. Respected and dear friends, Islam boasts almost 2 billion Muslims in the world. The atrocities are going on for decades. Which Muslim could have stood up and said anything that would have been heard by the outside world? Fatafshalu. Our condition has reached such a state that we are still looking for the solutions which are glaring in front of us. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And even if we pluck up some courage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Your strength and your courage will be lost. My respected and dear friends, at this point in time, let us understand that these solutions to the problems are in the Quran-e Kareem, and the Quran-e Kareem is in front of us, but yet we are so distant away from the solution to all our problems. Let us turn back to the Quran-e Kareem, and let us inculcate the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah we will see like how Allah changed conditions at the time of Uhud, like how Allah had changed conditions at the time of the trench, Allah will begin to change conditions now. In another ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a warning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us that if we do not take heed to the very simple instructions of the Quran-e Kareem, what will be our condition? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in tuti'u alladhina kafaru yaruddukum ala aqabikum fatanqalibu khasirin balillahu mawlakum. This ayah was revealed at a time. We understand that there was chaos during the time of Uhud, and some sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum hear a rumor that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become a shaheed. Other sahaba were injured. Sahaba radiyallahu anhum had become martyred. At that time, the kuffar took advantage, and we know Khalid bin Walid had come from behind from the mountain pass. At that time, when the kuffar had seen that they have a temporary dominance over the Muslims, Abu Sufyan stood up and he addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he said to Sahaba that there is no izzat, there is no honor except the honor of joining us. In other words, come back with us to Makkah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum turned a deaf ear to Abu Sufyan. The munafiqeen that were there, a small group of them, began to tell Sahaba radiallahu anhum on an individual basis that now that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become shaheed as per the rumor, join us and our deen and you will gain success. Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not turn or give any attention to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, in tuti'u fariqan, if you join any group, in tuti'u alladhina kafaru, if you join those, or if you follow those who have disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will turn you away on your heels. Fatanqalibu khasirin, and you will turn the loser and a total loss. Balillahu mawlakum, nay, Allah is your mawla. My respected and dear friends, let us not look for the solutions to our problems in any United Nations, in any United States. Let us turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has invited us in the Quran-e Kareem, fafirru ilallah. Very briefly, the other aspect of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we need to inculcate is that heart of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That akhlaq and that character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at these trying times of the ummah. Let us not turn away from these conditions, but let us at least And this is the least we can do, is keep our hearts together with those who are in these difficulties. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu so often used to say, مَا سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَيْئًا قَطُّ فَقَالَ لَا. That Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was never ever asked anything for which he had refused. Whatever was asked, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always said yes. He never said no to any ummati in any situation and any condition. A poet has depicted this so beautiful in Arabic. Lawla tashahud, lawla tashahud, lakanat lahu na'am. That if it was not for the ashadu Allah, if it was not for the la in the ashadu Allah ilaha illallah, then the la, the no of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have meant yes. He never said no to any ummati. My respected and dear friends, let us try and adopt this situation. Let us try and adopt this attitude of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let us not say no to the condition of the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that that person that makes an effort on those who are in difficulties and the masakin is like one who is in fi sabilillah, who is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rawi of the hadith says, my impression is this, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, so long as we are in the khidmat, so long as we are in the services of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write us amongst those who are in continuous fasting and continuous salat. My respected and dear friends, let us make one intention in our hearts, that we turn towards the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we pay particular care and attention to it in our lives and in the lives of our children. And as far as the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, let us ourselves inculcate it and let us bring it into our children. And at this stage, one great loss to the ummah is tilawat of the Quran Kareem. My respected and dear friends, it may be very embarrassing for me as an ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain to my brothers and sisters that the pathetic condition of the recitation of the Quran Kareem, what low levels it has reached now, that our youth have lost this Quran Kareem and they are busy losing it. And if we wish to, we may take the survey ourselves. Are we not staging the scene for Bosnia in our country? Beloved friends, let us ourselves make an attempt to learn the Quran, recite the Quran, and let us see to it that our children can recite the Quran Kareem. As Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had said, that it is by this Quran Allah will elevate nations, and it is by the very same Quran that Allah will destroy and disgrace others. Let us learn the Quran. Let us make sure that our children know how to recite the Quran. And it is a fallacy, like the people of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, that they had separated the tilawat of the kitab from the meaning of the kitab. They lost not only the kitab, they lost the original text. Let us keep our Quran, let us preserve it in its originality, and let us recite it. And together with that, let us make dua on a daily basis. Not only when we are in a majmua, not only when we are behind our imam, but individually also, let us make dua for the khair of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will see, inshallah, Allah will change these conditions. There is no doubt of the fact, and this is a promise in the Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us that if we bring the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in totality, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change these conditions. And remember that izzat and disgrace, wa tu'izzu man tasha, wa tu'dhillu man tasha, lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Rabbul Izzat first of all give me the tawfiq, and Allah ta'ala give each and every one of us the tawfiq of making amal. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the condition of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us make dua, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صادق الوعد الأمين رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن سهلا إذا شئت لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اجعل من أمورنا كلها فرجا ومخرجا إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعلي كلمة الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المستضعفين من المسلمين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لعن الكفرة واليهود والنصارى والمشركين الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.